WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Welcome to episode 435 of BRB UK, your podcast about video games from BigRedBarrel.com. Not that BigRedBarrel.com is making video games, but we do like to talk about them, and also this podcast is part of your well-balanced nutritional breakfast. I am Coleman, filling in for Dan, coming up with stupid intros. Hi! And with me is Mr. Timothy Hibbs.
I don't know how many podcasts we've done together, Coleman. I don't know if you have a handle on that figure. I don't know. But that was the first time that you've done the introduction and I was actually expecting your introduction. I can't remember ever expecting that before. You usually catch me by surprise every time. So there you go.
And because we have no Dan, we need to find a lad to fill in. And that lad here is our good friend Ed.
What was that, Timmy? Did you say that Coleman was stuck down a well? It sounded like it. He fell down the well at the beginning and we just got to get him out. Sorry. Hi.
Right, and as Dan is not with us today, let's have a clip of him just to get us back in
just
the
to
Dan
see his throat,
here
yeah.
we go.
Hey, buddy.
There we go. That's nice.
Oh, God. It feels weird without him here.
I
even
have
if I replace him.
Transitioned.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Roger me.
Oh.
With an avocado and call me Keith.
Yep, that's a nice one. Little rah.
Rawr.
That's classic Dan, that is.
Oh, Timothy Hibbs, you big steaming pillock.
Good.
As is that.
We're going to need that one a lot this week.
Yeah.
Eating my dust.
All right, let's
that
get on with the show.
That one we need all the time.
anyone that is listening and watching and going, there's no Dan on the show. I hate these episodes. We just did it. Dan's on the show technically.
It's fine.
Kind of. In spirit, through waveforms of some format. There you go.
And he can only interrupt when Coleman wants him to, so...
And I've got a camera, so I can just take my shirt off if people are really that desperate for, like,
please
something
don't do that.
Different. Yes, we'd be very clear. You made me sign the thing.
Speaking of the video version of BRB UK, there is talk of Dan's voice does not match his face, so there you go.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks that.
Yeah, if anyone else wants to weigh in on that conversation, Big Red Barrel TV on YouTube, there you go. I think we should go through, because we've been making a change to the show and been going through the games we done played before we get to the news, but I think we should go through the news this week just because there is so little of it, but the stuff that needs talking about, it needs talking about. And the first being of which that the PlayStation Store versions for the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation Portable, and the PlayStation Vita are to be no more. They are all going to be shut down from the 27th of August 2021, in accordance with an email from PlayStation to... It seems to be two gamers that continually use those services because... I've not got one. and the people that are angry about it, they all got one. But also there is a blog up on PlayStation Support blog as well that says this as well.
You know who didn't get notification that this was happening? People still developing games for the PS Vita.
Those exist?
Yeah, there are. I think there's a handful of PlayStation Vita games still in the work, and they've now been given a deadline that they've got to crunch to get their games on the Vita, otherwise it's physical only.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yeah.
So everyone developing Vita games still? Why?
Mate, there's still Mega Drive games coming out, so...
Yeah.
I don't understand your people's use of time.
There's still SNES games that get released that set your console on fire.
I mean, I think it's very polite of them to shut everything down the day before my 30th birthday. Nothing makes you feel old, like, oh, by the way, we're shutting down all these console stores.
Nothing makes me feel old like someone complaining about being 30.
I'm not even
old.
30 yet.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, you know.
Oh, Tim, you're at the pride of your life at 572. You don't look a day over 5,000.
Back on track. So you might be thinking, what does this mean if they're shutting down all the stores? Well, if you have purchased games for the PlayStation Portable, the Vita, or the PlayStation 3, you will still be able to re-download those games. However... You will not be able to, there won't be any updates released for any of those games, support updates, what have you. You can't download any DLC that you haven't purchased before. You won't be able to make any purchases, and you won't be able to add any currency to your wallet either. If you do have funds in your wallet, they can only be spent on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 stores. This did actually lead me to go grab my visa out of the attic today, just to, because one, I was curious to see what have I left on my Vita. Nothing, as it goes, because I have not touched my Vita in so long, it factory reset itself.
Oh.
So I didn't know that was a thing it could do, but it did.
So what you're saying is we have to cancel this week's feature of What's Inside Coleman's Vita. That was 20 minutes of the program. We have to find something else quick.
Well, I did, because there was a question that was asked a while ago that I never got round to answering, but is, can you control your PlayStation 5 through your PlayStation Vita? No. Can you control your PlayStation 4 controlling your PlayStation 5 through your Vita? No. You log into the PlayStation 4, and then when you log into the PlayStation 5, it goes, it looks like you're already using remote play of some form. So only one instance of remote play, I'm assuming, for don't be sneaky gits and give us more money reasons from PlayStation. So there you go. And why would you? I'm assuming that it would be terribly laggy to do such a thing.
I can kind of understand them shutting the stores down if they're just not financially viable. The one thing I don't think, to my knowledge at least, I don't know of any other precedents for, is closing down two generations in one go, basically. Vita and PSP. That, like, you would have thought that most of the people reasonably could have assumed that the Vita would close a while after the PSP store closed. And that's why I think some people got caught out and were, you know, more of the impression that would hang around for a bit longer. I'm not sure what brought about the decision to do that at the same time. If they did, like, PS3 and PSP at the moment, I don't think people would be complaining as much. But I guess Vita stores just not financially viable. Otherwise, they would look to keep it open, no?
Yeah, I can understand why they would shut them down. I would also understand why the outrage for them shutting down. So I do see both sides. But at the same time, I can see that Sony have not conveyed this to their customers in a decent way.
Or their developers, which I think is even worse.
Or their developers, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and there are games that sell on the Vita, on the PlayStation 3, and possibly on the PSP as well, still to this day, that have been on there for a long time, and those, that's now revenue that's missing for those developers. And then there's a whole legacy of games that are developed for digital only, especially on the PSP and the PS3, the minis and all that kind of stuff. And those will now no longer be available anywhere unless, you know, they were put to a UMD or if they are available elsewhere. But also, apparently this means, so in cases of, I mean, I know on the Vita especially, if you got Borderlands 2, which is the worst way to play that game, but it's viable, you can do it. I had that version of the game. If you have a cartridge version of that game that you go and pick up, that's fine. You can install Borderlands 2. All the expansions and stuff, that's all done through DLC downloads on the store. So that means if you bought that game, you're only getting the base game. And even though you've bought all the DLC version, DLC for the game, you can't download it in any way, shape, or form.
But that's the problem with updates and stuff these days. Even if you buy, you can't now buy an old physical version of a game because it probably won't be the game it was at launch or since, kind of thing. So
yeah, and that kind of creates an argument for both sides, where there's a lot of people, like myself included, I go for digital over physical just for convenience sake, but that means one day they will shut all these things down and I will lose every game I bought. At the same time, the people that buy these physical games, like if you bought a copy of Destiny, one day you'll put that into your console and it will do nothing.
Yeah,
you know, Cyberpunk. You bought Cyberpunk, and if you have no internet to update the game, it'd be completely unplayable from a lot of the bugs in that game. Same with No Man's Sky. And I know that's an always online game, so bad example, but there are many like that. There are games that are literally, they use Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, I think was the one. They put very little of the game on the disc itself, and then I think the install from the disc was a gig. And then everything was downloaded. Yeah. So if you bought that physically and had no internet, you're screwed. So there is arguments on both sides there.
I'd love to offer the olive branch that they have some grand plan of releasing all these type of games through kind of, you know, however they do it, PlayStation Now,
PlayStation or the
store on PlayStation 5 or whatever. But yeah, like you say, like if they go down the route of giving them free somehow, then that cuts out the developers in somewhere. I don't know how that would all work, and you know, it's probably too much work to renegotiate everything for that per whole. They might be able to do it on a case by case basis, but it just seems that Sony don't have an interest in the preservation of a games library in the same way that Xbox do. And I don't know if it's like not having as much history to mine, because Nintendo have such a long and varied history that they can just go back and remake a game from a few years ago, and it's enough time has passed that that's something that's viable. And I think that Xbox being a newer company and having a smaller breadth of overall content that they could look at curating and continuing forward. Obviously, they've had that plan for a while, and we're seeing the payoff of that plan coming to fruition. But yeah, I think it was easier for them to do, and that there was a different philosophy that was working for Nintendo and PlayStation previously of just having that content as content to go back to and remake and reimagine and stuff like that. And I think it was Jim Ryan that said that, that, you know, he doesn't really see why people have an interest in playing old games. But like a whole massive like retro like fan base that, you know, has existed for years and continues to grow, like seems to disagree with you there, kind of thing.
I think the quote was along the line, I haven't got the full quote out in front of me, but if I remember correctly, it was, I was at a Gran Turismo event and they had all versions of the game set up, and I was looking at the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 versions of the game going, these look ugly, why would anyone want this? To which there was a massive blowback of, we want this, or, you know, you don't, PlayStation don't care about their past and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I totally get what's going on. And it is a shame. I hope there is something going forward, because especially when you look at the other side now and Xbox allow for Xbox 360 and Xbox One games to be played on their modern day consoles.
And phones as well. And yeah, like, you know, devices through the cloud and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they announced original Xbox games will be playable on the cloud this week. So it's, When you do something like this and don't give a reason, a decent enough reason, like they didn't say we're shutting these down because of this, or we're shutting this down to refocus efforts into this version of sort, or to improve your experience or anything like that. I mean, the only experience I've seen of the PlayStation Store is the PlayStation 5 was coming out. They updated all the stores and now it's worse.
Yeah.
It's better on the console, terrible on a browser or on your phone. So I don't know. It's a very muddy message that they really need to kind of follow up on, I think. And it is a shame. But it did inspire me. Like I said, I went and pulled my Vita out. I've cleaned it all up and given it a good scrub. And then immediately installed the Uncharted Golden Abyss, which yep. is the only Uncharted game I haven't complete. So I it's inspired me to do that. But also, it reminded me that if you go to the store on your Vita and then go to your downloaded games, it pulls up all your Vita games and all your PlayStation 3 games, which you can't download on your Vita for no reason, and gives you no way of filtering that whatsoever. And it's really irritating. So you're just there going, what games do I own? Scroll, 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 scroll. Very slowly, scroll, scroll.
I mean, one thing that I think is kind of missing from this discussion about like closing down the PlayStation 3 store is that, like, as you mentioned, you know, Xbox Series, you can actually play like 360 games on it. Like, one of the reasons why I'm thinking of getting one of those is because I've got a bunch of like 360 titles I've still got finished from like years and years ago. But the PlayStation 3, because it had like the Cell processor and it was notoriously like difficult to develop for, you now have this weird issue where, you know, the games weren't back compatible with the PlayStation 4, they aren't back compatible with the PlayStation 5. You might actually just now lose an entire generation. Because you can still play PlayStation, well, I don't know if you can still play PlayStation 2 stuff, but like PlayStation 3 is pretty much the only generation that you cannot back compat in some way, as far as I'm aware, because you've got PlayStation Now though. So it's a very interesting sort of approach that, considering that the console generation for PlayStation 3 only ended in like 2013-14, it's really weird that like less than a decade later, it's just going to be kind of erased from time. Then the other thing I had was just a flippant joke about, imagine if you bought a PlayStation Portable Go. Imagine how red your face must be right now.
John Brady has a PlayStation Go.
If you own games, you'll still be able to download them, but you just can't buy any new ones and you can't. And I'm assuming at some point they'll shut that down, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen in the future. If there's no need for people, if there's no new customers, then why would you keep it open? PlayStation Store, it's not great, but we'll see what happens in future. And please do something about your PlayStation 5 store. It's not great. It really needs looking at. Why would you take out screenshots from the store? I use those If I need high quality screenshots to make a cover for this podcast, where do you think I get them from?
You know, Sean LeBeau now works at PlayStation. That's probably the first thing he did when he got there. He went, so I've got a friend called Coleman who uses these screenshots at the store. We just get rid of those.
Name dropping.
Yeah. Hey, it's your friend too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, if it's not on Steam, I'm buggered now. Okay, the other news is there was a Twitch gaming showcase at Idea Xbox, and I thought this would be bigger news than it is. It is just all the indie games, but a lot of it is stuff we already knew about. There was a couple of highlight games that they went through, but also there's going to be 20 games from independent developers launching day one with Xbox Game Pass. And then they listed out, with a very quick package, 60 games that are coming to Xbox overall. Any of this lot taking your guys' fancy? Anything you wanted to get into at all?
I saw bits of this whole broadcast, basically. I kind of watched about half of it and then meant to go back to it and then completely forgot about its existence. But I saw a lot of people saying they were fairly unimpressed with the overall lineup. I saw a couple of things that were, you know, of vague interest. Stalker 2 was interesting to me. I think I played a little bit at the first one, but not really.
But we had Stalker 2 at one of those big Xbox Series X, like when they were doing ages of this is gameplay footage of Assassin's Creed. No, it isn't. And then eventually went, okay, we're going to do a bunch of stuff. Here you go. Kicking off with Halo, and Stalker 2 was in that lot.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure if how much of a slightly backhanded compliment it is putting Stalker 2 in with all the indie game stuff as well. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I didn't see much else that really sparked my interest very much. And the whole, without sounding too bad, because obviously these kind of things are difficult, but I think, we didn't really talk about the fact that the BAFTAs were last week as well, basically, or, you know, just because I think they were on the night we were podcasting again. They kind of slipped through our news net. But that was quite a glitzy and glamoury and well put together thing. And then literally the next day or so, I think this Xbox thing came up. And I think it didn't look quite as good and professional in contrast, like quite so soon after something that was quite so slick and well presented. This seemed a little bit less professional anyway, let's say. But also, yeah, I don't know. It was a weird format, and interviewing people is nice and stuff, but I don't know. It just didn't work for me, really. And I don't think it was a great way of showcasing the games that they were showing off entirely. I don't know exactly how they would have done that better with all the games that they were showing. But yeah, from what I saw, it didn't really interest me that much. And that's probably why I forgot about it existing and didn't actually go back to it and do my homework this week. So
that's fine. I mean, they showed off Soup Pot, and that's all everyone needs, really. It's a game where you make soup, and I am all for that. Ed, anything on there catching your interest at all?
Yes and no. Like, I always think that more indie games are good for a platform. It's just I'm now at the point where I just don't... I think, like, I need to sit in a room with, like, 20 men in suits who all explain to me for 3 hours how Game Pass makes any money whatsoever for anyone. Because, like, it was reaching a point with the EA Play stuff where I was like, okay, there's got to be some shenanigans. Like, how are they making money off of this? They're making money off of this. And also, I did like the trial of it on PC, and I was one of those people who got caught by EA Play going, oh, it's going to launch in December. And then it went, no, it's not. Then, like, the moment my Game Pass expired, like, I let it run, so I've got other things to do with my life. Like, they went, cool, EA Play's here. And I just went, oh, great, why did I do this? Yeah. What is my life?
I mean, the biggest thing for me on this lot, other than if you go and look up all the games that they announced on, because they put up a blog post on over on the Xbox blog, but other than that blog post being called So Many Games, which we do like the name of.
So Many Games.
They did announce that Sable will be one of the 20 games that's going to launch on Xbox Game Pass. And Sable is this title that only... I've never seen like a full in-depth version of this game or explaining this game or what it is. All I've ever seen is it's always in hype packages. There's always a quick snippet of it. And every time I go, wait, what was that? Go back. It looks amazing, and I want to play this. So,
Coleman, yeah, I have a question about Sable. Mm-hmm. Is there a scene in which Brock Lesnar breaks into your house, and even though you've got a restraining order against him, he convinces you to become his wife?
Yes, that is exactly the game. That is what happens.
A bit some old school WWE jokes there.
Now that makes me feel old when you call that old school.
I was 10 when that happened. Like, that makes you feel old.
And I think one of the games they mentioned in this presentation is already out as well. Narita Boy is out on Game Pass, I believe.
Yes, and that nicely takes us over to the games that we done played, or what we done played. And Narita Boy is out on the Xbox One, but thanks to the power of backwards compatibility, I've been playing this on the Xbox Series S. So this is over on Game Pass now. You can pick it up for $19.99. It is available on the PC, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Mac and Linux. But if you have an Xbox One or an Xbox Series S or X, then get it through Game Pass, because you should. Now, this one's been popping up a lot because it has a very 80s retro look to it. It is a 2D hack and slash pixel art style platformer. It takes a lot of inspiration from the 80s. The story is a little bit Tron. The idea is there's a guy who made a video game. Inside that video game is a land called the Digital Kingdom. And one night he gets sucked into his game by an evil force called the Him.
As you do.
And his group of baddies called the Stallions. And after bringing the creator into the game, they have stolen his memories, so he can't do anything about it. And then the kind of good forces of the game, they bring in another character, like a Flynn-type role, or a Captain N, the Games Master, if you will. And he gets sucked into the game, and you become like the pixel hero. And you have to go through and beat various members of Stallion and try unlock the creator's memories to bring him back to the real world. So the first thing to note about this game, it is gorgeous. They do this very, because it's an 80s retro game, they do this kind of scan lines, sweeping graphical glitches and things like this, bouncing textures on the side of the screens and things, much like playing this on an old CRT. And it works very well for it. There's a blur to it and the way it looks. It is a very gorgeous looking game. And it seems to have got a lot of people's attention. From playing through the game myself, it seems like a lot of people start this game, because it is on Game Pass, if just judging by the achievements alone, a lot of people start it, they don't get very far into it, because there is a point in the game very early on where you have to solve a puzzle, and it's not overly clear how you solve that puzzle. So I had to look up a walkthrough to get past it myself, but once I did, it made sense for the rest of the game, because you have to have pen and paper to the side and write down little icons as they appear and use them in the, you know, it's an old school mentality of playing video games for me, and I love it. Once you get past that point, though, every achievement I'm popping up goes rare achievement, and the little diamond icon goes off, and like, but that's just like a simple achievement you get through playing the game. Oh, everyone's dropped off at this puzzle point. There's also some other complaints about the gameplay changing and stuff, but for the most part, it's the look of the game, the sound of the game, the way you play through. You're doing your platforming, you're unlocking different moves, and then those moves are then used in part for the platforming, but in part for taking on different enemies and bosses and stuff as the game carries on. It's a very creative game. It looks gorgeous. It plays really well, very responsive. I'm having a lot of fun. It's not that kind of level of hack. Just because the game looks a bit like Dead Cells, it doesn't have that satisfying like point-to-point action and then that level of difficulty as well. This is, for what it's worth, a very modern take on a retro game in terms of difficulty and stuff. You can breeze through this pretty easily. I think the main game's about 6 hours long if you just go straight through A to B to C to D, but it is a very satisfying game to play. So the kind of two parts of it, the kind of parts that make the game up, you've got your platforming, your hack and slash, as I mentioned, your boss fights, but then also you get these story beats, which is you trying to unlock the creator's memories, and it takes them through the memories of the creator as a child going up into a game developer. And those are very interesting themselves. But then also there's kind of callbacks to other video games where it might throw in a bonus mode of some form. So at one point you get turned into a stag and then you gallop across a field, but there's no real reason for it. You just go from one side of the screen to the other and then it's over. Another point, you're riding one of those stags and it's more like kind of like the Battletoads speed bikes type things from the old NES games. Really, really hard. but it only appears once and it's like a 2-minute version of the game. And a lot of people fall off at that point as well. I've read in a lot of interviews, reviews, not a lot of people like that. And then there's other things where you like surf on a floppy disk. Like there's loads of little bonus modes thrown into that that they used to do back in the day. You'd play a game and go back in the day, back in my day, you'd play a game and you'd pick up Terminator 2 and it looks like a side scrolling platformer, but oh no, it's also a racer and it's also a puzzle game. Yeah. And it's also a weird point and click first person shooter, you know, all thrown into one. And they kind of do that, but not in so much as this level is this, this level is this, this level is this. It's like, these are the two main modes throughout the overall of the game, and then we throw in this stuff on top of it.
Odd bit for just a bit of variance. There seem to be like things you could ride, vehicle type things.
Yeah, that's the riding on the stag and the floppy disk stuff. There are the kind of mini, and they are mini games to it. They're not the overall part. They're just little breakups in between. It's kind of, as you finish like a big level, then they'll throw you one of these mini games, and that's one of them.
Yeah, and graphically, I wasn't sure about this from just watching videos and stuff, but does it look slightly better in motion? Because it's one of those slightly overused graphical styles at the moment, but they seem to have done it to an interesting way and to a good degree.
Yeah, and it's that kind of, it's the style that pays off the more you play it. Because as you start, it is all very dark and black and blues and like little vibrant shades thrown in. But then as you progress, then it's like you're outside in desert areas and things are sunlit and yellows and oranges are your main backgrounds and things. And it gets brighter as you play. Like one of the bad guys that I had to fight in the game, I've forgotten the name. I think she was called like Dark Rainbow. And she's like this huge statuesque woman who's entirely like black in shadows, except for her hair.
I thought you were going to fight a rainbow.
Well, no, her hair is rainbowed.
Right, okay.
And that's kind of like, so when, and then they can kind of sink into the shadows and sail through the floors and the walls and the ceiling and stuff. But you're on the lookout for these kind of hints of rainbow coming from their hair, and they use the hair as the attack and stuff. It's really cool. I really, really recommend giving this game a go. Especially if you have Game Pass, go play it on the Game Pass. But I think £20 for a game of this length and scale is definitely worth trying out if you don't have access to an Xbox.
I have a question.
Yes. Said.
How tall is the tall lady, and should Capcom be worried?
She's not kaiju level yet, but she does take up the whole kind of most of the screen in size. Yes, Ed.
Is Clifford the big red dog a kaiju?
Yes, sure. Why not?
Yes.
Good. Who would win in a fight between King Kong
and Clifford the big red dog? Clearly, Clifford the big red dog.
And Westwood the big dog, and Roman Reigns the other big dog.
Oh, Roman Reigns is weird, clearly.
Good. But yes, so that is Narita Boy. I definitely recommend this one as a pickup. Let's go to Ed. Let's throw it over to you for one of yours. Pick one of the games you want to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just put on my thinking cap as I think about what game I want to play next. I've been playing Yakuza 7, Yakuza Like a Dragon, as it's called. Love it. I'm a big fan of the Yakuza series. I think one of the last times I was on here, not doing a Choose Your Own Adventure, I was raving about Yakuza Kiwami 2. That was a couple years back. But yeah, I love it. It's the first main one in the series that isn't covering the adventures of Kazuma Kiryu. It's set after Yakuza 6, chronologically, and then you play like a new person who's in Kamurocho. He goes to prison for a crime he didn't commit, and then it just escalates into the typical Yakuza like crime war dramas. It's phenomenally good. One of my favourite things about it is actually the transition to turn-based RPGs, because I think that the Yakuza series, like, it was just reaching that sort of peak of what they could do with the fighting system, and actually sort of spreading it out to like four different people turn-based in battles, all of whom have like different job classes and stuff, is actually like a really nice way to spice it up. So
I didn't realise it was that different, basically. Okay,
yeah.
Is it interesting?
It's like you don't have to have played any of the previous ones to get into it. Like, the first point, I'm on chapter 11 of the game, and that's the first point where you would probably want some previous knowledge of the previous games. But other than that, it's really, really phenomenally, like, the battle system's really fun. Like, because you can, for example, you can make Ichiban a chef, and then he'll start like flambeing enemies or hitting them with frying pans. you can like have one of your teammates become like a Japanese idol and then they'll start singing songs. You can have one of your friends become a busker and you can start doing moves like, you know, We Are the World, which heals everyone, yeah, and stuff like that. You can become a demolition man and start swinging a sledgehammer like Triple H. The ones that I've just recently unlocked are, because when you reach certain bonds with your teammates, you unlock new classes for them. And one of them is the Devil Rocker. So you all start wearing like Kiss level makeup and going around, literally like one of your moves is like going wah, 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 at people and embarrassing them to fucking death. Also embarrassing them to death. One thing I'll really quickly say about as well is I really love the opening like few chapters of the game in terms of something that's really powerful about it, I think, is that the other Yakuza games have kind of just been about, okay, well, here's, you know, what life like is in Japan, or what it's like being a Yakuza, what it's like being the crime family, where this one, like, very early on, your character becomes homeless. And they don't just go, oh, look at all the wacky adventures you can have while you're homeless. It spends, like, a load of hours going, no, being homeless in Japan really sucks. Here's all the reasons it sucks. Here's all the reasons why people don't understand the problems that affect the homeless people in Japan. And it goes from everything like, you know, maybe they've got like issues in their life that, you know, maybe they're running away from something. It's impossible for people to get jobs in Japan sometimes because you need like an address. And if you're homeless, they won't even consider you for roles. And then like a few chapters in, you start working in like a bubble place, I think it's called. It's a place for extracurricular activities. And you know, there's loads of sex workers there, and you think the game's going to go, oh, because the previous games always have, like, segments where, like, in Yakuza 0, you get achievements for, like, watching the softcore porn videos in, like, one of these, like, video shops and stuff like that. Where this one goes...
Japan!
Yeah, but this game goes, no, being a sex worker in Japan really sucks for a lot of people. There's loads of reasons why they're really horribly exploited, and, like, here's all the different ways they're exploited, and that your boss is like one of the worst people for that, and he openly admits that he's just like, well, I can treat them however I want because I can also just as quickly get them like deported. And like the opening like few chapters of that game are not in terms of like the actual beat for beat story compared to the other games, it's on a par with some of them, but in terms of like the cultural stuff, it is probably like the strongest one. And that's probably the thing I would say most is, you don't need to have played the previous ones. The combat system's really fun and different. And I think it tells some really interesting stories, not just through narrative, but culturally.
I really want to play this game I really wanted to play Yakuza when I first saw a trailer for it, you know, as a teenager, and then it didn't come out to the UK and I'd lost all interest at that point when it finally did. So not since that moment have I really gone, I really want to play this game. The only issue is because I was going to pick it up on the PS4 because you get the PS5 upgrade, but then they went, hey, if you play it on the PS4, the save data doesn't move over. So I didn't bother.
But they're all on Game Pass.
Yeah, and it's a shame because it was on sale over on... Like a Dragon's not on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, but all the previous ones are, if you want to play.
No, I know. But Like a Dragon was... It had like £20, I think, knocked off the price over at Christmas, so I really was tempted to pick it up. And I probably will at some point, but I'm waiting to play that PlayStation 5 version, which it's out now, I think, on the PS5.
Yeah.
I just still don't have my PS5. But I will. And I really love this idea of, it's a fantasy RPG set in the real world with real world elements and like all the classes are real. And it's only because like the main character is obsessed with Dragon Quest.
Yeah. And so he sort of like really imagines cool. The enemies as like being different. And yeah, it comes
which
up
is
quite
great,
a lot.
It's a different company.
I was a bit surprised how often they reference Dragon Quest. I was just like, but that's Square Enix. You guys have like some sort of behind the back deal that I don't know about.
Japan.
I have a question, Ed.
Yes.
What is Like a Dragon?
What do you mean?
Well, isn't that just a dragon?
So my understanding of
a dinosaur, maybe that's Like a Dragon.
I think it's one of the. I think it's one of the lyrics to the Double Dragon animated series. If I remember correctly,
the original main character Kazuma Kiryu had like a full dragon tattoo on his back, so he's the Dragon of Dojima. So rather than
is this guy the previous dude? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, it's instead of like the dragon, he has like a dragon fish on his back. He wants to be a hero, but he's a bit goofier about it. Oh,
okay.
And I forgot
I think
my favorite
we just stumbled
detail.
Across the answer there. A
yeah,
dragon
there
fish a is dragon like fish. A dragon.
It is
yeah,
like
Garrus.
Yeah. One last word on the game. You can still hit people with bikes. 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Nice. How does one become a dragon? Can I become the dragon of Gosport?
Yeah. I mean, if you just get like someone to scribble a dragon on your back and you walk around starting fights and being a Mary Sue all the time, I think you'll be fine. Like,
that's basically me back home, yeah. Yeah,
or just develop more dragon-like qualities. Hoard gold, preferably into a cave.
Have
a dislike
of
small dwarves and other Rawr. Small people. Breathe fire.
Yeah, call yourself yeah, Smaug.
That'll help.
Be voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch.
That'll also
in two
help.
Really bad movies.
Well, that definitely sounds like a recommend, and I can't wait to play it. I'm going to run through this one very quickly because it's super easy to run through it quick because there's not a lot to it. But Genesis Noir has finally come out. This was meant to come out last year, I think it was, but it got pushed back. This was a Kickstarter success story. This also, Xbox One, out on Game Pass. Otherwise, you can buy it £12.49 on Nintendo Switch, PC, and Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Not PlayStation, sorry. And this is one of this one's caught my eye a bunch of times because it's got this really interesting aesthetic to it. I thought this was going to be a kind of point and click title going in, but it's not. It is a puzzle that is run in different scenarios and wrapped up in this film noir style. No one speaks. Everything's done in a jazz music and mute, and it's really interesting. What the game is it's reenacting the Big Bang in the form of a noir murder mystery. And I really
who
love that
it?
Idea. That, like, that's, yeah. Well, I think you know who did it, but you got to piece together why and if you can stop it. Or you play
Columbo.
As a watchmate. Yes.
I know you play as Columbo. You did it.
Lieutenant Frank Columbo. No, you play as a watchmaker and who. His love is shot, and you find you have the power to rewind time, and you're trying to figure out why she was shot and if it's something you can use your powers to stop.
Okay.
What it kind of makes is this 3 to 4 hour very quick playthrough game that is really, really interesting to play. And I just, again, I say that everyone should go give this a try at least, especially if you have Game Pass. But otherwise, £12.49 for a video game ain't a bad price. And this one is really, really gorgeous, and I love it. And again, it took me, much like the other one, it took me a little while to get my head around the start of it. And then once I did, I was glad I pushed through because it's a really, really good game.
I have a question. You see, my wife, she looked into it, Chris.
See, my wife, she loves Genesis Noir. And she knows you did it. She's a big fan. Go on, Ed. You got another one.
I'll quickly go through Puyo Puyo Tetris 2. I Ooh. Was given a free copy of this from Sega Stream. They were doing for special effects. It is really, really fun. I've been playing it on the Nintendo Switch. If you played Puyo Puyo Tetris before, it's
I
all
did.
Of that. But if you haven't, it's
what
just basically
have,
a combination.
Ed? Oh, what if I have?
Well, then I'll just tell you that it's a lot more of the same, but with more variants. There's more characters. There's more fun ways to play. If you've not, it's like some levels you'll be doing Tetris, some you'll be doing Puyo Puyo. So that's, you know, it's a connect four, or like you connect same different colored orbs of like four or more, and you can chain them to create bigger combos. Sometimes you'll be doing Tetris versus Puyo. Sometimes you'll both be doing Puyo. Sometimes it will swap after like 20 seconds. So you'll be doing Tetris, it will swap to a different board. You can do that. There's puzzle stages where you have to try and solve everything as quickly as possible and get the biggest combos that you can. It's been really fun. One of the interesting things about it is that it's got auto difficulty. So if you fail on the stage a bunch of times, it will go, like if you quit out the stage and then come back in, the difficulty will like drop from like a 10 to a 6. And it's very interesting because I don't know how it works in the sense of I've hit retry on a stage for like half an hour before, like every 2 minutes for like half an hour, quit out, done something else while I've gone back in, and it's harder.
So, like, it's like, no, screw you, Ed. You need to get better. Just get better already.
Yeah, but it does let you skip stages if you're stuck. Like, I think you can fail the stage. Like, the first time you fail the stage, it goes, would you like to skip this? So, yeah, it's really fun. Plus, Sonic's in there. I've not unlocked him in the main story. I don't know if you can. But, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog's in there. And you can do, like, fun team battles where you can have Sonic on your team. And he can become your best friend, Chris, because I know that's what's important.
Yes!
Yeah, Puyo Puyo Tetris, it's just come out on everything except the Switch, because it was exclusive to the Switch for a while. If you like fun puzzlers, want something to play with your friends, really fun. Heartily recommend it.
Yeah, I liked the first one, and yeah, with a bit more variance and stuff. It does get a bit confusing when you're flip-flopping between the two or trying to do both at once kind of thing.
Yeah.
Makes for really good multiplayer battles, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, it'd be good for multiplayer.
Because one of your attacks is you can switch on the other person at your will, so you can mess them up. Like, I'm doing really well. Puyo Puyo!
Yeah.
That works really well, especially if you only know people that have only ever played Tetris.
Yes.
I was one of those people. I only ever played Puyo before through the Yakuza minigames. And boy, is it a fun learning curve, let me tell you.
See, I remember playing it. Didn't they have it on the Game Gear back in the day? I definitely played it either there or in some collection or something. But yeah, anyway, interesting that it's out. How much is it, do you know? You said you got it for free, so you might not be... It's hard to know when you already own a game how much it costs on the store, because it doesn't tell you anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's a full-price release, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a full-price release. I won it in a competition, so...
There you go.
Sorry.
I think the first one was a $34.99 or something like that, I want to say. But
yeah,
I could be
wrong. About $34.99. There is a demo, the first one and the second one, I think, on the Switch. So if you're not sure, give it a try.
I couldn't find the price for Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 on the Switch, but I got the PlayStation 4 and 5 version. It's at £34.99. Of those English pounds and pence.
It's a deal. Yeah. It's a steal. It's not the sale of the century.
Puyo Puyo steal.
It's not a kind swear of magic. Over it.
But yeah, Coleman, I'm very interested to hear about your next game. I'm considering a purchase, but I'm still unsure.
Okay, well, I might sell you on this. I might put you off this. Who knows? This is Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. It's finally available on consoles. I've got this on PlayStation 4 / PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. It's $32.99 because there's a PS Plus 20% discount at the moment. So I assume that goes up to $34.99 or whatever it is when that's done. If you don't know this game, it is a kind of mix between a classic RPG and a point and click, and throws in tabletop mechanics as well. If you can kind of think if Fallout 2 and Broken Sword had a baby and that baby grew up to be an alcoholic. An alcoholic version of Columbo. Then that's what this game is. And it is highly enjoyable. So
my wife's a big fan of the future.
So the kind of the main version of the game is you play a cop. You've woken up with self-inflicted amnesia. It's either self-inflicted from alcohol or substance abuse, or maybe just hitting yourself in the head several times. You don't know. But you woke up. You wake up in a trashed hotel room, and then you have to figure out why you're there, and which very quickly becomes evident that you are a cop, and you are there to look into the investigation of a lynching. And you kind of have to piece together what the story is from there. Where this game is really interesting is that just the vast amount of things you can do with that. So there is the basis is go solve the murder, go solve the lynching, go figure out what's happened there. When behind all that is, do you want to build your personality to pretend you're a rock star? Do you want to think you're a superhero? Do you want to be a communist? Do you want to be a racist? Do you want to be a radicalist? And there's all these kind of things that they throw at you that you can use for problem solving and story elements and all this kind of stuff behind it. I at the moment try not to do anything political in the game whatsoever and just focus on that my cop is a superstar. He thinks he's a superstar cop that walks around in his pants, and that's it. But there are several different ways you can play this game. And along the way, there's like momentum, different meters and things to keep your eye on, whether it's physical attributes, your intelligence, your mental well-being. You can literally get so depressed that the game will end. Like at a point, whoa, investigating this hanging body, we were trying to figure out how to get this body down from its noose, and it came up with the idea of, oh, we can shoot it down. And I tried that and just shot the corpse in the stomach and ruined the evidence. And it just went, I'm too depressed, I give up, I don't want to be a cop anymore. And like, that was the end of my game. So, and had to restart. So,
so you have a low mental run, basically. You have low mental
Oh yeah, very low mental run on mine. I went for intelligence, but he can fail very easily. You get very depressed very easily because of it. It's really interesting in that regard. And it's really interesting if you play the game literally as a permadeath type state. So whenever you fail in the game, instead of booting up an autosave or something, just go with it. That's it. Your game is done. Try something completely different. It is a very fun way to play this game. The way the final cut differs from the original release from 2 years ago, I think it was. So there's been complete voice work added to the game. There are nearly 300 characters that have been given dialogue, including the narrator and the skill actions, the character skills. There are 4 new quests that were originally cut from the game. They've been added back in, but I think they've been put towards a political sub-story of the game.
Yeah, they're political quests.
Yeah.
So it's like, because as you play the game, you can, as you mentioned, you can play as like a fascist, you can play as a communist.
Yeah.
And so like they're like different length quests, but they basically allow you to, I think, to see like the logical end point of those trains of thoughts. Because one thing you can do throughout the game is as people talk to you, you can develop different thoughts and it will affect your base stats. So for example, if you talk about how you don't think you have a home, you can convince yourself that you are a hobo and you become hobo cop.
I'm hobo cop.
And you, yeah, you can get more money from like picking up like plastic and recycling it.
Yeah.
You can basically make your character like convinced that like they start thinking really deeply about homosexuality and they wonder if they're gay or not, or like there's so many different things you can have him become convinced by conspiracy theories, and you can make him become like a deranged conspiracy theorist.
There's like some kids that taunt you in the game, and one of them shouts out the F slur, basically. There's a homophobic slur towards you, and you can literally turn around to them and go, damn right I'm a, and then shout it back at them and go down the quest line of being gay. It's very interesting. But yeah, your character's a blank slate that you get to kind of play around with. There are new art and animations added to the game, and there's 2 new songs added to the soundtrack. So this, the final cut is available on Xbox One, Series X and S, Nintendo Switch, Stadia, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. But if you already own it on the PC, then you get a free upgrade to the final cut, which is a pretty damn good deal, if I do say so myself. As like, this has been on my wish list on PC for ages, and it keeps getting discounts. And but I was holding out for this console version since they announced it. So I really need to remove that so I stop getting emails telling me it's gone down in price. Ed, you're actually the reason that I've been waiting to play this, because I remember you saying when we were at Resd 1 year going, oh, you should really play a Disco Elysium. And anytime anyone went, any games you buy, Disco Elysium is brilliant. And you kept talking about it.
Yep.
I was like, I really need to play this Disco Elysium. And we're finally playing it now. And it's really, really good. And I just want to play more of it.
Absolutely is. It's one of my favorite games of the last decade. And I will heavily caveat everything I say is, because after that Resd incident, I became very good friends with one of the social people from Disco Elysium. So you can use that to judge bias or whatever. But it's honestly just one of my favourite games the last God knows how long.
You're not the only one that was raving about it as well. There was a lot of people when it first came out that really, really got into it as well. So it does sound like an intriguing game as well. One I'll be keeping an eye out for at some point as well.
Yeah, there are so many different ways to play it. Like one of my friends messaged me the other day saying that they're playing it as if the cop is a bear who woke up and decided it was human. And they're now trying to like go through the difficulties of trying to be human. And apparently they had to stop quite early on because they got too depressed because humans are too mean. When I first played it, I had like no physical stats whatsoever. And if you want to do a permadeath, as Chris mentioned, that's a very easy way to just immediately die, is you try and get your tie off of the fan in your room. You'll have a heart attack and die. What other ways I've done it? I shot one of the kids, you know, when you're trying to get the corpse down.
I had
down,
that option. I was really having an iron over it.
Yeah, I tried it. I got, like, the double six, because if you get double six, it's an automatic pass, even if your stats are way too low. Shot the kid, automatic game over. There's apparently no achievements as well, because I've got rare ones, like, basically just saying certain things a certain amount of times and becoming different types of cops, but there's now ones for never even searching the corpse. There's ones for following through on the critical ones. Yeah, there are so many different ways to play that game. I'm desperate to go back and play it again now with all the additions. Like, if I can ever convince my other half to play it, I'm gonna set them down and be like, you need to play this, please. It's very important. Because there's so many different things you can do. Like, I entered the game without my cop ever being able, without ever seeing his own face and rejecting his name, but never coming up with a new one. And I got called out for being a massive communist, but every time I met people, I would ask them for money because I was poor and homeless. And the game notices it. It calls you out on that.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's just, it's kind of the bluntness of some of these, the responses you can do. Like, literally, quite early on, you can meet a character who's racist, and he's racist towards your partner. And you can listen to his arguments, and then with your partner standing right next, you go, do you know what? Sign me up. I'm all for this racism. And it's very odd. But it's like something that you can use later down the line to your advantage or to your disadvantage. But it's a very versatile game in the way you play it. And it's interesting because, like, these types of games, not so much point and click. I still play point and clicks this day, and those are kind of modified into your Quantum Dreams and your Telltale type games. But this isometric top-down Fallout type game with all the dialogue choices and stuff, like, I don't really do that this much now, but as a kid I used to play a lot of this kind of stuff, so it's something that's making me go, well, maybe I should look out to more games like this that have been and gone and have been critical darlings that I've then gone, yeah, but it's not my kind of thing. And yeah, this is just great. Everyone should try it. This is probably one of the best written games that I've played in a very long time.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone should play it, unless you're in Australia where you can't, because it's been banned. There is a scene where one of the potential things you can do is you can give one of the kids speed. And Australia doesn't like that very much.
No, they have very strict... I think that's the two things. You can't give... in games, you can't show minors either consuming alcohol or drugs, and you can't use drugs to a benefit in a video game. That those two things will get you banned in Australia, just in case you wondered. So Ed, you've got one final game on the dock.
Yeah, I'll go through this semi quickly because I've not been able to play it as much as everything else. I really wanted to spend the last couple of weeks going through it. Persona 5 Strikers. So last year they re-released Persona 5 as Persona 5 Royale. It's one of the two games that I've ever platinumed on the PlayStation. The other one being Spider-Man, and Persona 5 is absolutely brilliant. It's a really great turn-based RPG where you play like a teenager, you get sent to a different high school, you have to live in a different part of Japan for a year, and you discover that there's like an alternate world where people are like intensely corrupt and you couldn't change their heart. Like, you basically go into their mind palaces, you steal their innermost desires, and you help them become like better people by admitting to their crimes. Persona 5 Strikers, it's based off the original Persona 5, not Royale, but it takes place about 3 months after the end of Persona 5, and you go back to the town to visit with your friends for summer holidays, and then it turns out that, like, the metaverse hasn't quite disappeared, and you go on a road trip across Japan in order to try and take down this other alternative world. It's really cool. Instead of turn-based RPG, it's now Warriors style. So you attack like loads of enemies at once. You can you can swap between all your different teammates and use all their different personas. You still have the ability to swap between personas at will. It's really, really, really fun. Like, if you've played a Warriors game before, you sort of know what you're getting into, but it's a lot more heavily stylized. It's a lot more in the persona style. If you've not played a Warriors game before, it's either this or Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity I'd recommend. Both of them are, like, I think, perfect to get people into, like, the Musou genre. I'm semi-early into Persona 5 Strikers, but the one thing I would say is that it really heavily assumes that you've finished Persona 5 and you know pretty much everything about it. So that's a big difficulty in selling it. Only other issue I have personally is I understand it would have been an absolute massive undertaking. It wouldn't have been like super worth it. But it's in that in Persona 5, you can romance like loads of different characters in the game.
Yeah, you can.
And a lot of them are like your party members and stuff like that. And because then in Persona 5 Strikers, you basically go back to that same group. It basically treats it as if you didn't romance anyone.
Oh.
And which is fair enough, because it probably would have caused so many different permutations, but I would have really just loved an option that was like, did you romance anyone in Persona 5? Yes. Was it Futaba? Yes, correct. You get the better version of the game. That's apparently a controversial opinion.
If you are looking to play Persona 5 before playing Persona 5 Strikers, and you have a PlayStation 5, this is part... Persona 5 is part of the PlayStation Plus collection, so you can download that.
And if you want to play a better version of that, play Royale, because it adds a few more characters. It adds an entire like coda act of like an extra 20, 30 hours and stuff like that. But obviously...
That sounds like a reason not to play that version for me, but okay.
Yeah, 140 hours, Tim. It flies by.
As we discussed in private off mic before this show, paying for Persona 5 Royale and just playing the version of Persona 5 I have to see if I like it, I think I'll go with the latter than the former.
I think you're making a mistake, Colin, but I can't stop you.
I did like... I do like...
Romance Futaba, she's the best one.
Okay, fine. I romance them all, it's fine.
To be fair, if you go and end up wasting like 20, 30 hours on this one and then decide you really like it, you'll regret the fact that you didn't listen to Ed.
Or I'll pretend that the other game just doesn't exist.
That's also an option.
That's also fair.
By the way, I do like that I can play my girlfriend's PlayStation 5, redeem all the PlayStation Collection games, and then play them on the PlayStation 4. that's a nice little feature. Cheers, Sony. So it sounds like another recommend then, Ed.
Yes. I just want to point out as well, all the games I've played recently are Sega games. That's just a pure coincidence. I'm not being paid by them. If they do want to give me some money or sponsor me, my DMs are open. They're not, but they know how to find me.
Okay, so Ed's in bed with Sonic the Hedgehog, as we know.
Yep.
I've always suspected it.
Sonic Shill.
Sonic the Hedgehog is Ed's first sona.
Oh, no. That's ruined it now. Now we're going to play Persona later and be like, oh, I wish Sonic was my persona. Like, actually, that would be really cool. Someone mod that in and then tell me. I've got Persona 5 Strikers on PC. I can mod it in. Find a way.
Right, we have to get out of here. Any new updates on Geek Out for Gosh, Tim?
No major headlines, just keep doing what you are doing, people, and hopefully going to Geek Out for Gosh either on Great Ormond Street's website or just generally Geek Out for Gosh on Twitter and I believe Facebook and a few other places. And yeah, just for anyone that doesn't know, hasn't heard before, you can stream to raise money for Great Ormond Street. In doing so, if you raise 250 quid, you get an exclusive insert coin Tees t-shirt and pin.
Yeah, they look nice.
That's nice Great Ormond Street design. And if you don't fancy doing that or you can't raise that amount, you can sponsor someone else or just help raise awareness for someone else that is streaming as well. We will have some further news down the line for this as well. Come and get involved as and when you can. Great time to help raise some money for Great Ormond Street, basically.
Cool. And we do like to get some community feedback, but before we do, I'm going to tell you how you can get in contact with this show like these several people have done. Over in the comments section on BigRedBarrel.com, but also on BigRedBarrel.com, we have a link to our Discord, which I do recommend you signing up to, because it is not just a brilliant service, but it's a great place to hang out with all the people that like Big Red Barrel in some form or another. Over on Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Barrel, and on YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV. Over on Discord, we have a couple of questions. I'm not putting yours in, Ed, because you're on the show, so that would be immoral.
Oh, thank God.
Angry Rob 2, or Angry Rob the Second, he says, if you could merge two
sequel
if you could merge two control
part two of a trilogy
if you could merge two console controllers into one, what do you think the best what would be the best and what would you choose? I am going to go with the Nintendo 64 and Dreamcast controller, just to annoy everyone in the world.
Chaotic evil. I like that.
Although I do actually genuinely like both of those controllers, and I think they do make sense when you get used to them, and I don't get the hate.
Individually, they were both good. Together, they'd be some sort of Frankenstein's nightmare of awkwardness. I was thinking before that it'd be nice to have a kind of... And we got one in the last generation, sort of, for fighting games, but a kind of cross between the Mega Drive pads and
the Dreamcast,
like modern console pads. And as I said, there was one in the last generation for fighting games because you got the bumpers and stuff on the top and then the six buttons on the face with a big D-pad. And I kind of wouldn't mind another one of those this time around this generation because, yeah, I'd like one for fighting games again,
yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, you're more of a fight pad than a fight stick player, aren't you?
Yeah. I kind of got used to playing fighting games that way, even though originally growing up in the arcades, showing my age, I don't get on with the fight sticks as well as... I don't know why, but yeah, I just like fight pads. And I haven't seen them announced yet for this generation, but then I guess we haven't really seen any big fighting games yet for this generation, so hopefully by the time the next one comes out, we might see that come to fruition.
See, I think since getting back into fighting games in a big way, I've transitioned from using the D-pad to the fight to the analog stick. So I think I might actually try a fight stick when those are available for modern consoles. Ed, do you have two console controllers you want to bundle together?
Well, to answer Angry 2's The Angrylings question, it would probably be the GameCube controller and the Xbox 360 because I'm... So this is my awful confession. This is going to get me cancelled. I use Xbox 360 controller on my PC, even when playing PC games. I don't use mouse and keyboard.
That's fine here, Ed. We won't chastise you for that. Dan's not here, so you're okay.
All right. And then also just from the GameCube controller, I mean, I missed that generation mostly. I got all my GameCube games when I got a Wii. And then obviously you could plug it in and use it as a controller for stuff like that. You can use it on the Switch. So I don't think it's the perfect controller, but I think it's very good. It's very versatile. So if there was a way to sort of combine the sort of ergonomic feel of the GameCube one with the squishy shoulders of the GameCube one, where you could have the adaptive triggers where you could sort of soft squeeze and then full squeeze, but you had the analog placements of the 360 controller and maybe not the giant A button, but maybe I'd probably make the B button a bit bigger. Maybe, I don't know. Make them
more the same size, maybe, eh? Although it was always nice that you could tell the buttons apart by feel. I don't think that's as...
I think that's a very...
good placement.
Yeah,
but not.
That's a very good point, and it is something that is very underrated, I think.
I just generally as well, I was thinking when you guys were talking as well, just slightly trample over Coleman's answer, but generally, it would be nice with Dreamcast pads. I miss VMUs. Bring back VMUs. Stick them in a modern controller and let me have a little thing I can take out and do little mini games to contribute to the main game when I get home.
Exactly. They did it with Smart Glass and it fell on its butt.
I want VMUs in every format, but I want them to plug into the controller and I want them with the little lanyard connection so I can wear them when I'm out at events and stuff. I'd love the VMU.
I want VMUs to work like Tim's Pip-Boy that doesn't work. He can't be exploded. Where you put the VMU into your arm and then you can just
all right. Thank you, Angry Rob 2. Back in the habit. Velvet Thunder, he wants to know, what would your dream game franchise plus developer team-up be? For example, a Sonic game made by Toys for Bob would be his choice. Ooh, that's a good, good, good pick.
I've got an interesting one.
Okay.
Don't know how great it would be, but a God of War game made by Platinum Games.
Ooh.
Because I pitched this a while ago. I want a Musou game, so whoever the hell makes Dynasty Warriors. That's what are they called?
Koei Tecmo.
I want Koei Tecmo making a God of War Musou game. Because I just think it would be really fun to be using the chain. Is it the Blades of Olympus? What are they called?
Blades of Chaos.
Blades of Chaos, that's it.
I think it's Chains of Olympus.
I want the Blades of Chaos just against 500 enemies, just tearing through them. I think that would be fun. Devil May Cry Musou. I'd have that as well. Just all Musous all the time. Any action game, make it a Musou.
Musou Warrior.
Legend of Zelda. Musou Warriors. Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Age of Calamity. Really fun game. Heartily recommend.
What you got, Ed?
You know what? Like, I'd really love the disco. I was going to sit here and be like really like pretentious, be like, well, actually, most of my favourite developers already work on my favourite games. I quite like the Ryo Gotoku Studios, and I think Nintendo. But thinking about it, Disco Elysium team, New Monkey Island, with Ron Gilbert at the helm. But he gets the Disco Elysium team.
Okay, I like that. Also, I like the idea of going, hey, Yakuza team, could you just start making Shenmue? Because I feel they could do it.
Yeah. I mean, relaunch. they recently, a few years back, they did a Fist of the North Star game as well, if you're into that. And it's based, someone actually in your Discord recommended it to me, so I can't remember who it was, but thank you to that person. It is literally just like Yakuza.
Was it Angry Rob 2, Cruise Control?
Oh, it might have been. But yeah, if you want, like, I just want them to make more Yakuza-style games, but for other genres. Give me a game with Wario, where you just play as Wario and Waluigi, but so it's like Yakuza 0. In fact, make Yakuza 0 again, but Wario and Waluigi. Someone mod that. Tell me when you've modded it, let me know. I'll re-download the game on PC just to do it.
Also, I'd like Rocksteady to make pretty much any Marvel franchise, for some reason, like, X-Men and Wolverine is really popping to my head as well. Like, yeah. Or something of that sort of nature.
Oh, I put together the Rocksteady Turtles Last Ronin game a couple of weeks back, and I stand by that the way. That's a brilliant idea, if I do say so myself, and I do, because I came up with it. Good. Yeah. I think that is everything that we have time for this week. So we should go away, and I should edit this show, and then we'll come back next week, and we'll do several more of those episodes until we hit episode 500, and then we'll all just disappear into the night, never to return. I'm going to keep putting it out there that we're quitting after 500.
Okay. I mean, you guys didn't hit the secret ending in episode 400, so I don't think I can actually come back for episode 500 and do the episode I was planning for that. Right. But I've still got a year. I'll figure something out. Like, time travel was really my biggest idea, and I've got nothing left. I'm sorry. Unless you all want to become wrestlers.
It's also worth noting, we are about... We're just over 10 months away from 10 years of BRB UK. So there you go.
Wolves.
That should age you.
That does age me a lot.
God, I remember when it was still Sarcastic Gamer.
I've never heard of it.
I remember appearing on one of those.
Never heard of it.
At Eurogamer Expo.
No, never heard of that either. That never existed. It's always been EGX. Rezzed. Good. Right, so we've got to get out of here. And so until next week, Ed, thank you for jumping on in our time of need.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I hope that my mic hasn't been too difficult. And also play Yakuza Like a Dragon and Persona 5 Strikers and Disco Elysium. If you don't play Disco Elysium, I'll be very personally disappointed and upset.
Just to clarify there, Ed, are you saying I need to play a Yakuza game like a dragon?
Yes.
Or are you saying I need to play Yakuza Like a Dragon? Just for clarity's sake.
I mean... The first, like, Yakuza 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all on Xbox Game Pass. You could play them as if you are a dragon, and then you could play Yakuza Like a Dragon afterwards.
Okay.
There's literally nothing stopping you.
Breathing fire and playing video games is not a very good mix, especially if you're playing it to monitor. Just, you know.
Right.
You do you, Tim. You do you, Quick.
Good. So, for episode 435 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, or BRB UK if you will, I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
I definitely wasn't Kazuma Kiri, but I was Edward Price.
Good. We'll catch you guys next week. Hopefully we're down back in tow, but until next time, dear listeners, a goodbye.
welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.